You're listening to guest speaker Don Roy, speaking at Beach Cities Community Church in Huntington Beach, California. Beach Cities' mission is helping people find Christ and grow spiritually, emotionally, and relationally through teaching and preaching through the Bible, the Word of God.
My name's Don Roy, in case you don't know me. I'm one of the guys that, I'm the guy that teaches the survey through the Bible the last couple of years. Maybe this year we'll move it to the summer, call it summer school. But I also have been teaching the high school for several years. So when your kids come home and they have these really strange stories, they're probably mine. Yeah, so just in case you're wondering. Tonight's message, I've entitled it, Get Out of the Dugout. And before I get into it, can you put up the verse for tonight? Thanks. Okay, it's Genesis 1:14, and God said, "Let there be lights in the expanse of the sky to separate the day from the night, and let them serve as signs to mark seasons and days and years." I thought this would be appropriate as we're going into a new year. We have all these New Year's resolutions. We're trying to get healthy, lose weight, make more money, take vacations, do all these types of things. So I thought what we would do is we'd talk about spiritual resolutions for this upcoming year. So before we get started, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just ask you to prepare us for this new year. We just ask for your guidance. Just help us understand the direction that you want us to go and the things that you'd have us to do. Just use us for your kingdom. Help us to see the gifts that you've given us and just be faithful to use them. We just ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so what's a dugout? For some of you that have never played baseball, never been around it, a dugout is an area on a baseball field where all the players congregate if they're not on the field. Typically, there's 25 players on a team. You have 9 guys in the field. So if you're not in the field, you're in the dugout. So from a spiritually speaking, there's a lot of Christians that are in the dugout, and how do they get into the field? And that's what we're going to talk about tonight. But before we do, I want to give you a little background on me. When I first got saved, everybody thought I flipped out. Oh, man, you believe Don Roy? I was all fired up. I bought all these Bibles, started passing them out to all my friends, and they would come over. And I give them a Bible. They go, "Hey, really cool, let me have that." So they set it down in their lap and they roll their joints on it. And it's like, "Hey, guys, that's not cool. That is not cool. That's a word of God. Give me that back." And I hit them on the head. But all my friends, most of them got saved over the years. They've mostly been saved. I was the kind of guy originally, when I first got saved, I'd get them in a spiritual headlock and I'd just pound them with the word of God, and "You're going to die and you're going to go to hell," and all this stuff. That's not effective. It doesn't work. It doesn't work very well. But anyway, what happened a few years later, I got married, had a couple of kids, and life is going good. Went to Israel, and I encourage everybody to go to Israel. It just helps you to read the Bible in living color. And then I got involved with a local church and taught the junior high every Wednesday night for 9 years. And junior high must have been a glutton for punishment. So junior high is really, really tough. But life was going good, and then I started a business. And I should have asked God to get involved in the business, but being an idiot, I thought I could do it on my own. The Bible refers to us as sheep. We're kind of idiots, right? Sheep are really dumb animals, and that's kind of what we are. But what had happened, I started getting really busy trying to get this business up and running, and I didn't have time to do the junior high anymore. So I had to pull back, and I kind of pulled back in general. And then we started looking for another church, and was kind of struggling there for a little bit. And the kids were getting older, got into high school, and my son had asked to go on a water ski trip with his friends, and there were going to be some parents there, we were kind of hesitant. He was 17, almost 18, and we're kind of hesitant. This is the first trip, I'm not so sure. But we said okay. The next day, we started getting some really strange phone calls, you know, it was really, really awkward. And so we called him up, and there was no answer. And we started getting worried, going, ah, what's going on? And so we called Parker. He was water skiing in Arizona. We called the Parker police station, and they said, yeah, there's been an accident, three boys, and there was a fatality. And whoa, my wife and I, our knees just hit the ground immediately. I said, oh man, Lord, just don't let it be Cody. And you know, so we got together and we just said, hey, you know what, if he's one of the survivors, he's going to probably be in the hospital, he's going to probably need some help. So we got in my brother-in-law's car and started driving to Parker. And we got about an hour and a half into the drive, and the police station called us back and said, can you describe your son? And so we did. And that's when they said, your son is dead. And man, I'll tell you, I can't explain to you the feeling that you have as a parent when you lose a child. It's just so painful. And all you can think of is, why? God, why? What'd I do? You know? And, you know, the drive back was excruciatingly painful. And it was really, really difficult. And we got home, the extended family was there, we told them, and it was kind of a real hectic night. But the hardest thing was the next morning having to tell your youngest daughter that, you know, God took your son home. You know, and that was really hard. You know, I knew that he knew a lot of people, and I knew that at his service there would be a lot of people there, and I'm just thinking, you know, okay, God, I don't know what it is. I don't know why him, why not me? We decided to have an altar call at the service, and knowing that there would probably be a lot of people there, I had no idea there'd be a couple thousand people. There was a couple thousand people there, and at the end of the service, 75 people came up and accepted the Lord. And at that moment, I mean, that kind of took the sting out of it a bit. I mean, the pain will always be there. You'll never, I always tell people, you'll never be whole. You know, you kind of walk with a limp for the rest of your life. There's a piece of you that will never be replaced. But but that certainly helped. And that day I was a bit in a fog. And when the people stepped up, there was some kids that I recognized. And I asked them, I said, hey, look, you know, would you like to come over for a barbecue, and I'll explain to you what you just did, what it really meant? And they said, yeah, sure, Don, that'd be great. And so they did. They came over, and I figured, you know, we'd have barbecue. 20 minutes later, you know, we'd be done, and we'd go on our way. But 2 hours later, they're still asking questions about the Bible. And I said, hey, guys, it's getting late. Why don't you come out back next week, and we'll, you know, you can ask more questions. Okay, yeah, that's great. And the next week, there was... it was 5, the same thing, and the next week it was 10, and it was 20, and then it was 30 every single night, or every single Sunday night at our house. And it peaked at about 50, and then they started graduating and going on and to other places. But so I could see what God was doing, you know, how he used somebody for his kingdom. And you know, what I wanted to talk about tonight was getting out of the dugout, but there are ways that we get into the dugout. My way was that I started a business, and I just kind of pulled back a bit. And we all kind of do that. You know, we get into the daily grind, and you know, we just get busy. It's kind of like working out at the gym. You know, sometimes we're going really good, and you catch a cold, and you don't go for a while, or there's something in there, and then all of a sudden a month goes to 2 months, and it's like, oh man, I got to get back, you know, and that just happens, and it happens to us spiritually, And we have our kids sometimes get, oh, I got a tournament here and I can't go to church here because I got a game here and I got all this. You know, fortunately for our church, we've got five services. So, you got a game, there's still another service you can go to, right? So there's no excuses. But back in the day, that was my problem too. You know, my kids all played sports and it kind of interfered. And, and as an former athlete, you want your kids to do really good and all that stuff. But, your priorities get a little bit out of whack. Waves are up. Hey, got to go surfing. Well, I go to church enough. I'll just skip it. That's just the way it is. But and then sometimes bad things happen to good people. Now, that's a whole other study all to itself, but sometimes things happen. And, but we don't see the whole picture. Just like with my son. At the time, I didn't see the whole picture. We see one little piece of the puzzle. And, eventually, someday, we'll see the whole picture. But, the ones that get me are the people that say, hey, well, I tried it, and, I was praying for 2 weeks, and God didn't answer my prayer, It's like, oh, man, okay. But let's go. How do we get out of the dugout? So we have New Year's resolutions, right? We talked about those. So I wrote down some Christian goals that I think are attainable. And the first one's spiritual. The second one's relationships. The third one's service. The fourth is financial. And the fifth is time management. So let's get into the first one. The first one is in 1 Timothy 4:7, it says, take time and trouble to keep yourself spiritually fit. So what are the things that we can do to stay spiritually fit? Okay, so I wrote down some things that I thought were practical ways that we can kind of, set goals for ourselves this upcoming year. And one is, first off, number one is always pray, right? God wants to talk to us. He just wants to talk to us. He loves us. He wants to talk to us. So one is pray. And oftentimes when we pray, we pray, we don't listen, especially guys, right? We talk, we don't listen. Right? That's what my wife tells me all the time anyway. But another thing is get into small groups. And it sounds, I've been pretty well plugged in. And then a couple of years ago, Linda gives me a call and says, hey, Don, you're going to lead a small group. I don't know, Linda, no, you're going to lead a small group. Yeah, no, I have three. And you know what? They're fun. You have the greatest, you meet the greatest people, a lot of fun. A little bit of Bible gets talked there, but we just have a really good time. But you're hanging around with good spiritual people as well. The other one is pick a book in the Bible to read. Any book, it doesn't matter. Just get into the Word and study it. That's a great way to do it. A lot of times, a lot of us Christians, we're not into the Word enough. We got to pick a book. That's what we do in our small groups, is we'll pick a book and we'll just do a chapter each gathering. We'll do a chapter every week, and everybody picks one. We use the Walk with God journal, the one that Kent put together for us, where you pick a verse, one verse that speaks to you out of the chapter, and you elaborate on that. Right, and then everybody gets to hear what you elaborate on, and they get to contribute. And by the end, it's really cool. So that's another good way to do it. Another way is go to summer school. I'm kind of plugging my study here for the summer. We teach a survey of the Bible is about 1 hour and 15 minutes, 11 weeks. And it's chronological. It goes all the way from Genesis all the way to Revelation. And the good news is, when you get to the end, the Christians win. That's the good news, right? We're the champions. And but anyway, we're going to have other programs coming up as well. But just go to one. Even if you're a mature Christian, it's not just for beginning Christians. I mean, some of the best baseball players in the world go to spring training every year. They got to get their timing down. They go to spring training. So and then go to the retreats. The retreats are great, and we have the men's retreat, we have the women's retreat, we have this thing Brian was just talking about, the couples deal. Those things are really, really good. I remember the last men's retreat, the women like the men to go on the retreats because we're supposed to come back, we're supposed to be all, spiritually fit, and we are. We're all pumped up. We got our spiritual muscles going and everything, but they think we're coming back and we're just going to be all lovey-dovey and all that stuff, right? And so this last one, I come in, and I'm feeling really good. And I walk right on the front counter is this gorilla mask. And it's the kind that goes over your whole head, right? And I'm wondering what it's doing there, but I didn't care. I'm thinking, man, you know, this is really cool. So nobody heard me come in, so I put it on. And I start walking real slowly through the house, right? And I get to the back of the house, and my oldest daughter sees me, and she starts screaming, right? And then my wife starts screaming, because she's screaming. She didn't even see me yet. And then I run in, I'm going, ah, right? And they're shaking. They're so scared. They're shaking. And, you know, and they're going, you're supposed to, you just came back from a retreat. How can you do stuff like that, you know? And, you know, Satan's going to attack you right away, right? I mean, yeah, it's just the way it is, yeah. So, and the other thing is you know, if you have the ability to do it, plan a trip to Israel. It's one of the most incredible things you'll ever do for yourself. You know, I always talk to people. They say, hey, I'm going to Hawaii. Really, have you ever been to Israel? No. You going to Hawaii? Nah. You're spending money in the wrong place. Have you been to New York? You've been to Hawaii? You've been to all of the places? You haven't been to Israel? It's an amazing, amazing place. The Bible comes to life. After you've been there, you're reading in 3D color. It's no longer black and white. Everything is in 3D. So I would encourage you, if you can, try to plan to get there. And the next bullet is relationship. Okay? And in Proverbs 17:7, he says, a friend loves at all times. And, you know, when I told my wife I was going to do this one, she goes, you can't talk about love. And I go, what do you mean? He goes, you have no feelings. You know, my theme song at home is that song, you know, feelings. Don Roy has no feelings. And that's what the girls tell me at home, right? That's my theme song. I go, hey, I got feelings. Just because I don't watch Pride and Prejudice a million times doesn't mean I don't have feelings, you know? I like Gladiator, you know, and you know, Rocky and those kind of movies, you know. The typical guy. But anyway, so we need to try to love more. Who? Family, friends, neighbors. And how do you do it? We do it, the way you can really show it is you bring them to the Lord. You bring somebody to the Lord. And I remember the guy who was really responsible for me bringing me to the Lord. You know, I was a tough nut to crack. Well, what about the flood? You know, what about the dinosaurs and all this stuff? And this guy was so patient. You know, he wasn't like me. He didn't get me in that spiritual headlock and just kind of pound me, right? He was just really took his time with me and really worked on me. And eventually I got saved. And, you know, a couple of years ago, he called me up. He became a missionary and he was in town, wanted to see me. I said, hey, great, Bob, you know, let's get together. So we're having breakfast and he didn't know about Cody. And, you know, I'm sitting in the restaurant and yeah, I told him, I said, Bob, you know, my eyes were getting watery and I said, I just want to really thank you for not giving up on me. You know, and I know I was a tough nut, you know, and I go, because you didn't give up on me, I became a Christian. And because I became a Christian, my son knew the Lord. And God took him last year. And here you see two full-grown men crying in the middle of a restaurant, you know, but it's serious stuff. And you know, we need to do that. We need to introduce people to Jesus Christ. It's not the pastor's job. It's our job. It's our job to get them here. Nothing can do the rest, but we got to get them in here, you know. And we don't know when God's going to call us home. I didn't know when my son was going to go home. None of us know when we're going home. You know, during our time here, we're going to have opportunities to to bring people to the Lord. Question is, will you? We all have that opportunity. Will you? I'm sure glad somebody took time with me. Really glad now. Anyway, the next bullet is service. And Peter tells us here in 4:10, God has given each of you some special abilities. Be sure to use them to help each other. So, question is, are you using your gifts? You know, we need to get dialed in. We've got to get dialed in. Hey, if you can sing, sing. Get in the singing ministry, you know. If you can teach, start teaching. We got a lot of kids out there who need some teaching, you know. If you're athletic, use that for the glory of God. You know, Tim Tebow, perfect example. I mean, you know, we've got a lot of kids that are good athletes. You know, use it for the glory of God. You know, there's working in the nursery. You know, that to me, that's the hardest job of all. Some women really love it. But to me, it's like, well, how do they do that? You know, I don't know how a woman does that for years. You know. But, you know, it's kind of funny. I was, I got here really early one Sunday because I wanted somebody to play hooky with me and go to the later service, right? And I said, well, hey, look, I got to do the donuts for the church. And I said, okay, I'll tell you what, if I go there and I help you, we can get it done quicker, then we can split, right? Okay, yeah, we can do that. So we are one donut-eating church, let me tell you, man. There are a million donuts coming in this place. I had no idea. And they come in these big, huge trays, and they're cut in half. And then you got to take these donuts, and you got to put, you know, I'm just taking them off the tray and putting them on the smaller trays, right? And then the girls are going, no. You got to put them like this, and then like that, and like this. Okay, hey, they're just donuts. No. They got to look pretty. And so I'm doing that. I'm putting them all in their place, you know, and I'm going, man, this is ridiculous. And they're smelling so good. And I got in a fight with one of these glazed donuts. And I'm looking at the donut, and he's going, you want to eat me, don't you? Oh, yeah, I do. He goes, but you can't eat me. The girls will get mad at you. I go, they'll never know. You know, I could eat you right now. They're not, you're not going to eat me. Because if they catch you, you're toast, dude. I said, hey, don't you be telling me I can't eat you. I'll eat you. He goes, I dare you. Don't be daring me. I double dare you. I took them. And I put them right in, right? And I got one bite. And all of a sudden, I hear this, Don, can you give me some help in the kitchen? And I'm like, And so I went, and I'm thinking, the donut won. I had to swallow the donut whole. You know, now, that's easy for me. But I had to swallow it whole. I'm thinking, I can't believe the donut beat me. I got beat up by a donut. So I go in the kitchen, I come back, and I'm back stacking the donuts, and the girls come out, and they're going, isn't this just the greatest job? I go, what do you mean? He goes, well, see all these little crumbs? We get to eat those. And I'm thinking, oh, you poor innocent things. If you're a dude, you just grab the donut and just eat it. But anyway, it's an opportunity. You know, there's so many things here for us to do at the church. You know, there's a zillion things to do. So, the next thing, number four, financial. I have to use these guys, so I'm blind. Anyways, financial. So in Malachi 3:8, he says, will a man rob God? Yet you rob me. But you ask, how do we rob you? In tithes and offerings. And so some of you guys sit there and go, well, hey, you know, that's kind of legalistic. You know, that was, you know, that's for all the people that deal with the law, you know. And we're in the New Testament, we're under grace, and that's totally true. But remember, if you go to the survey of the Bible, you'll know this. The tithes happened before the law. The law was given by Moses, right? And Abraham tithed to Melchizedek long time before the law was even there, right? So yeah, it was in the law, but it preceded the law. And it still goes on. In Malachi 3:10, it says, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse. There may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven pour out so much blessing that you'll not have room enough for it. And the key is tithing makes good sense because God isn't going to be your debtor. You'll never be able to give more to him than he'll give back to you. He'll never owe you one, and that's true. He's never going to owe you one. The thing is, if you're tithing, most likely you're in the game. You're not in the dugout. You're on the field. You're out there playing. You're giving it your all. And by the way, when you're in the dugout, you're on the team. If you win the championship, you all get rings, even if you're in the dugout. But man, it's so much more meaningful if you're on the field and you're giving it your all. Okay, so the fifth thing is time management. And everyone needs to balance their time, says Dr. Phil, right? Everyone needs to balance their time. But Dr. Luke says this: anyone who lets himself be distracted from the work God plans for him is not fit for the kingdom of God. That's a whoa, right? Thank God for grace. We live in the time of grace, and I'm a big grace guy. Always give me double portions of grace. I like the grace, right? But Paul says in Philippians, he says, I don't mean to say that I have already achieved these things or that I have already reached perfection, but I keep working toward that day when I will finally be all that Christ Jesus saved me for and wants me to be. And it's kind of like the Dead Sea. When we were in Israel, the Dead Sea is totally cool, right? The reason why they call it the Dead Sea, because nothing can live in it. There's not a single thing. No plants, no fish, nothing can live in the Dead Sea. It's just dead, right? And it's that way because it's so salty. And when you start walking, you can't sink. You can only go this, you sink this far. Like you go out in the ocean, you start going and eventually go over your head. But the Dead Sea, you can't. You keep on walking and it's like this. You're walking on water almost. And it's really trippy. But the reason why it's that way is because it has the Jordan River flowing into it. But there's no water flowing out. And it's a perfect illustration of us. Here comes the living water, the Word of God, coming into us. And we keep it in us. And we don't share it with anybody else. Nothing's coming out of us. It's all coming in. We pig it. We feel good when we leave. And we don't share it. We don't tell anybody. We don't bring anybody. We're like the Dead Sea. That's not a good thing. We need to get out there, and we need to share it. So, we're in a battle. And it says here, the new Christians are shocked to find that Christian life is not a playground, but a battlefield. And that is so true. People think, well, hey, you know, I'm going to become a Christian, and everything's all good. Wrong. First thing that happens is you're going to come under attack. Satan is really upset. He's angry. He just lost someone, right? So now you're going to be under attack. First thing that happens. That's the first thing that happened when Jesus got baptized, right? First thing that happened, what? Satan tempts him. Goes up on the mount. Hey, I'll give you all this, you know, all the thing, right? And that's the first thing that happens. We get saved. We come under attack. You know, I remember when I was younger, going to college, I was working at a liquor store. And it was in a really bad area. This is before I became a Christian. And it was really kind of cool because I was, you know, 19, 20 years old, and I had access to all the booze that people could ever want. My parties were awesome, right? And everybody wanted to be my friend because I had all the booze. But my first night there, I get held up. Gun right here, right? Takes me in the back. I thought he was going to kill me, but he just took the money and split. So from then on, I always wore a gun, right? I put a gun on, because I worked the night shift. I put a gun on, and I put my Letterman jacket on over it, and I'd be hanging outside. I didn't want to get robbed again. So, I was working a day shift, and I didn't put the gun on. And I'm feeling, and there's only one guy in there, and that's me, right, working the thing. And so when the coolers would go down, you'd have to go in the back really quick and throw the sodas or the beer up there. I get home and the owner calls me up and says, hey, Don, where's the gun? It's under the counter. No, it's not. Really? And yeah, it's $50. Well, at the time, that was a third of my rent, you know, and you owe $50. So I was really upset. So I put the word out, hey, you know, because this is the kind of liquor stores in such a bad area that there were no windows. Every time a window got broke, you just put up plywood, right? Because there's graffiti and everything, and there's no curbs. It's all dirt, sidewalks and everything. I won't tell you the city, but it was a pretty bad area. And a guy comes in and says, hey, Don, I know he took your piece. Really? Yeah, I need to know. Yeah. So he tells me. And it made sense because he was a heroin addict, and he would always come in and he'd buy a whole box of Hershey bars and sit in the front and eat them. When he didn't get his fix, he needed the sugar, right? So he hadn't been in there for a couple of weeks. Finally comes in. And I said, hey, I heard you took my piece. You know, that's pretty cool back then. And he goes, no, man, I didn't take your piece. I said, hey, look, I don't care. You just give me the $50 or give me the gun back because I had to pay the owner. He goes, hey, I swear on my mother's grave, I didn't take your piece. That's when you know he took it, right? As soon as they say that, you know he took it. So back in those days, I was in pretty good shape, and I went over there, and I beat the guy up pretty bad. He had his buddies there, and it was ugly. And so we had to call an ambulance, right? And so they took him away. Well, about 2 hours later, his gang shows up. And I'm still working, I'm behind the counter, and the gang goes behind the Campbell's soup section, and they're throwing the soups at us, and we're dodging them like this and breaking all the booze in the back. And so we had to get our bats. We had baseball bats because it was a bad area, right? We had to jump. The owner showed up, and so we're hitting these guys with our bats and everything. One guy got hit really bad, and so we had to call the ambulance again. Now there's two guys gone, right? And it's like, you know, you think you're cool. You think when you're 20 years old, you can't die, right? You just, everything's good. Well, you know, it's 11 o'clock, it's time to close. We're gonna go get some breakfast. And the owner always parked his car right by the door. By the way, the doors were wood now too. You know, they used to be glass at one time. They're wood with graffiti too. And he parked his car facing out so he could just go straight out, right? So we close it up, we lock the door, we turn around. And I didn't know this, but when at night a bullet leaves a gun, there's a little flame about this far that comes out of the gun at night, right? And across the street, it looked like the 4th of July. All these flames are just coming at, and I'm going, oh. And I can hear the bullets going, zing, zing, zing. That's what a bullet sounds like, zing, zing, zing. And so I got down as quick as I could, and I was skinny then, but I was really skinny. I was trying to get as skinny as I could get, and all I could think of was that the bullets are going to hit the building and ricochet and get me, and I can just say, oh man, I'm gonna get it, right in here, right? And the owner goes to his trunk, flips it up, pulls out his machine gun, and goes, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And I'm sitting here thinking, I'm 20 years old, I'm gonna die, this is amazing. I couldn't believe it, you know? I could have died, and if I would have died then, I wasn't saved. You know, so there was obviously some angels hanging around and just taking those bullets, and they were just barely missing. But that's what they sound like. Zing! You know, they spin like this. You know, it was pretty trippy. Yeah, so I have all kinds of wild stories that high schoolers get them all, let me tell you. Yeah. But anyway, we're in a battle. We're in a battle. And like it or not, the battle is between good and evil. Right and wrong, God and Satan, it's not optional. We must choose to fight or just wimp out. Okay, so we need to grow closer every year. The question is, are you? Are you closer to the Lord this year than you were last year? If you are, then you're doing something right. If you're not, you need to get plugged in. You know, God will use various methods. Sometimes we don't understand God's ways. We're not called to understand, but to trust. We have to trust God. You know, I'm here today up here because my son. God used him to get me back in the game. I'm not saying that's what he's going to use you. You know, but I'm up here. All I can tell you is I encourage you to get out of the dugout. You can't hit a homer from the dugout. You can't even strike out from the dugout. Just get in the game. So there are some people that aren't even on the team. They're not in the dugout. They're not on the field. They're in the stands, right? And how do they get on the team? And that's easy. Just believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. So let's end in a word of prayer here. Heavenly Father, we just want to be faithful servants. We just want to do your will. Just help us to figure out what it is, what we can do to glorify you. Just help us to get out of the dugout and onto the field, to get involved this year more than last. Just to plant seeds, to study your word, to talk to you more, just to love you, just to praise you. Just thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
You've been listening to guest speaker Don Roy speaking at Beach Cities Community Church. Located in Huntington Beach, California, Beach Cities Church has been helping people find Christ and grow spiritually, emotionally, and relationally since 1985.